Joining us now, Senator Phil Fortunato, representing the 31st Legislative District, which is parts of King and Pierce counties. Senator, welcome to Live from Seattle.
Well, thank you, Tim. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, you're just back in session. Everyone's there. How is that, having everybody back in Olympia now?
Well, it's actually really nice to get back, because there's no comparison between trying to do this by Zoom and personal contact, because, you know, all of this stuff is personal interactions. You know, you're having lunch with people, you're talking to them across the aisle, you're working your bills, you're addressing issues, and you can't do that by Zoom. So while it's not good this year, I was tempted, after we passed the rules and did all the stuff on the first day of session, I was tempted to make a motion to adjourn, sign, and die, and just close out the session. I know nothing good's going to happen, so I want to go home.
Well, the governor just gave his state address and outlined some of his top agenda items. What were your thoughts on that?
Kind of interesting, because if you want to talk about the homeless issue, for example, I ran a couple of bills. One was called the Shelter Act. Another one dealt with who gets priority in hotels if they're going to do these hotel rooms, right? And when I ran the bill and I got a hearing, 437 people testified opposed to it. Right. It's a horrible bill, because I said, all right, we're going to provide this service. We're going to give you shelter. We're going to have social services available, drug and alcohol treatment. But if you, in order to go there, in order to get this shelter, you have to agree on no drugs and alcohol and enroll in treatment if you're addicted. And then if you then camp on public property, it's going to be a misdemeanor. You're going to go to jail. So I was a horrible guy for proposing that. Since then, about six or eight cities in the Puget Sound area have actually adopted it. Tacoma, for example, just was on the news about 6 weeks ago, basically implementing my bill and saying, if you then camp on public property, it's a $250 fine and 30 days in jail. I think the city of Kirkland was a $1,000 fine and 90 days in jail. Kent and Auburn were a $1,000 fine, 60 days in jail. But if I run it, I'm a bad guy. The governor goes into Spokane and makes the announcement about, you know, who's going to get shelter and all that stuff, basically implementing my bill for hotels. So I guess, you can accomplish a lot if you don't care who gets the credit. So I guess we'll just take that as a, statement.
Yeah. This is such a fascinating conversation. There's different lines of data talking about, housing and the affordability and the fact that we've had so many people move here, but at the same time, units have not kept up. But at the same time, here in Seattle, with the housing first and kind of that approach, we've seen some downsides on that. How do you approach this from a statewide? We're talking billions of dollars. I mean, this is a significant undertaking to say, hey, we're just going to get housing for everybody.
You mean his $4 billion proposal to sell bonds to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was his proposal in the housing thing. And, first you're already spending millions and millions of dollars to create what they call workforce housing and all this. All the housing that they are talking about is actually apartments and ADUs now. That's their big thing, is AD, accessory dwelling units. But when they talk about affordable housing, the Housing Trust Fund came in and started talking about so many millions of dollars for affordable housing. And I said, is any of that housing actually to buy a home? No. So I think it's like $9 million. So the good thing that the governor is talking about is assistance and first time home buyers and down payment assistance and all that stuff. I mean, but you have to remember, the primary reason that housing costs so much is government. It's the artificial restriction of the amount of land, you know, with the Growth Management Act. When you talk to people and you say, do you support the Growth Management Act? They say, well, obviously you have to manage growth. You know, yes, we support it. And then they point to a high density development and go, what I don't like is that high density development. I said, so you like what you think it does, which is manage growth. What you don't like is what it actually does, which is mandate high density development. So when they're talking about workforce housing and all this stuff, they're talking about getting rid of single family zoning. Now, if you bought your house in a housing development and you like being in a neighborhood, and then the city turns around and does away with single family zoning, and then the guy next door of you builds a fourplex with three renters, how do you feel about that? I mean, now you've got all this extra parking, you got all these extra people in your neighborhood, you got, you know, renters are typically more transitory, you know, and when you have more renters, no matter, and it's not disparaging to say, when you have more renters, you get more crime, because when you have more renters, crime rate goes up. You know, so now they're bringing that into your neighborhood under the guise of providing workforce housing and all these nice terms. I go, what we really need to do is we need to be getting government the heck out of the way and allow for development of single family homes. Get people into a home. I don't know anybody that's living in an apartment that doesn't want a house. And so just today, a few hours ago, one reason I was late was we had a hearing on my American Dream Home bill, which says if you build a small starter house, 1,700 square feet or less, you're exempt from impact fees. You can't have a building permit more than $1,250. The city gets to keep the state's portion of the sales tax from the sale of the material. The builder gets a 4% B&O tax credit. And then we just added this year a property tax exemption for 10, it's going to be 10 years, and a and the ability to build outside the urban growth boundary based on the schools, exemption schools have to build outside the urban growth boundary. Now, what that means is, to understand how this works is, you have the urban growth boundary, a box, and the way the Growth Management Act works is you fill that box up. You pack as many people into that box as you can before you make the box bigger. Well, that's why you have all this local congestion. That's what's driving up the cost of housing, because now your available land is being used up. A guy says to me, I live in Renton, I work in Redmond, what are you going to do for my commute? I said, why don't you live in Redmond? Well, it's too expensive. You think it's too expensive because there's no land out there? Land up the wazoo out there. It's just artificially restricted by government. So by doing this, you can actually reduce the cost of that home by over $100,000+. And that's just the cost of government. That's $600 a month. And if you give them a property tax exemption, that's another $200 to $300 a month in mortgage payment. So now you're talking actually buying a house and having a mortgage payment somewhere around what you're paying for rent for an apartment. So that's a way that you can actually do it. I want to put 1,000 of these starter homes on the market next year.
Wow. Incredible. Man, we could talk about this for the next 40 minutes, but we just got another couple minutes with you. And I wanted to ask you, what do you know about there's supposed to be an announcement coming soon about a new regional airport here in the Puget Sound region. What do you know about that?
Funny you should say that, because the bill that was passed that allowed the commission to be formed said you can look at an airport anywhere except in King County. And the number one spot that they said was Enumclaw. They want to build an airport, and this is a large international airport, in the middle of a farmer's field in Enumclaw. Now, bear in mind, in order to do that, you would need to widen 410 and make it a six-lane highway at a cost of $6 to $7 billion. You would destroy my entire district, you know, because now you're going to get from I-5 to this new regional airport. So it would destroy my district. So it does make sense if you need an airport to put it up and down I-5 somewhere where you could just get off of the highway, but nobody wants it. Nobody wants an airport.
Yeah. What are you hearing? Because I mean, the announcement's coming. Are you hearing any rumblings about where it's going to be?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, the people in Thurston County, because now it's being pushed farther down I-5. People in Thurston County don't want it. There was another location in Pierce County that was outside my district, and nobody wants it in their suburban area. Is the point. So we'll find out what they say, what their recommendations are. But what I expect to happen is they're supposed to make a recommendation to the legislature by January something, this couple of weeks or shortly. And we expect them to say, well, you know what? We really can't do it. Everybody that's on the commission, the legislators that are on the commission that I talk to, says, you know what? We can't do this. It's going to take 4 or 5 years. You know, we need to do this 4 or 5 more years to figure out where it's going. But actually, one of the things that I think is, the Tri-Cities area. If you had a major airport in the middle of the state, because right now, everybody in the middle of the state has to go to either Spokane, and then they fly from Spokane to Seattle in order to fly out. But if you had a major international airport in the Tri-Cities area in the middle of the state, you know, that might... And the biggest problem is actually cargo. So when they do the report, they said, we have the passenger capacity in SeaTac. What we don't have in SeaTac is the cargo capacity. So, but a lot of cargo goes in the belly of the commercial airliners, right? But if you moved the commercial portion, you know, the 747s from UPS and all that stuff, and you move that to maybe a cargo airport somewhere else, that might be a little more acceptable. So we'll see what they say.
Yeah. Well, very interesting. That's no question about that. Senator, always great to have you on the program. We really appreciate you joining us. This is Senator Phil Fortunato representing the 31st Legislative District, and appreciate you being with us, and let's have you on again.
Okay, Greg, thanks for your patience. I apologize for being a little late.
Not a problem. We'll have you on again. Thank you, Senator.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.